This is Pop Culture Confidential, and I'm Christina Yerling Biru. Hey everyone, welcome to Pop Culture Confidential. We are smack in the middle of award season and talking about all these great movies from 2023. But let's take a break from that and talk a little bit about our most anticipated movies coming up in 2024. And there's so much to look forward to. With me, I have two great journalists and returning guests, senior culture reporter at HuffPost, Candace Frederick, and Thelma Adams, who writes for the AARP, Variety, and much more. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hey.
A pleasure.
I'm excited about this. You guys have picked 10 movies. We are going to go 10 to 1, sort of like round robin. I don't have an order, so I've put mine in sort of possible release dates because I'm like the worst at ranking things. So I've sort of put mine. But if you guys have anything you want to say before we start, any sort of precursors to the list?
Yeah, mine aren't ranked at all either.
Okay, good, good. I don't feel lonely.
Mine aren't ranked either. And also, you know, we're just going into Sundance. So there's there are a number of Sundance films that look really good that I've included.
Great.
But in 2 weeks, we're going to know if they're really good. And also, I picked some movies that maybe are more, I write Jewish historical fiction, and there's a lot of interesting Jewish titles. So those appeal to me. You know, as always, all three of us, we love things that are female centered, but not, we don't have to stick to that, which is what's great.
We're open to everything. So Candace, why don't you start?
Oh, no. First off is Lisa Frankenstein, which comes out next month, I believe. Slated to come out next month. It is a Frankenstein-esque, and right out the gate, I love anything with Frankenstein that has been inspired by Frankenstein, and this is written by Diablo Cody. I think it's kind of a romantic horror comedy, and it's essentially about a teenage girl who has a crush on a human corpse, and who suddenly becomes reanimated, so like they become alive, they're mortal again, and I guess hilarity ensues, I assume, but I'm very interested in that.
I'm looking forward to that one too. Isn't that Robin Williams' daughter Zelda who's directing it?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I'm excited to see her first film. Yeah.
I did not realize that. I ran away with the Diablo Cody of it all because I think is such a great writer.
But oh, yes. Amazing.
Is this Zelda's debut?
I think so. It's her first feature. I don't know if she's done shorts or something like that, but as I understand it, it's her first. And who doesn't love a good, now we're sort of in the poor things era, mm-hmm. like a good Frankenstein right. metaphor for a female. And it looks really funny just off the trailer. So good pick.
Yes. Like give me all Frankenstein and through a female lens. I hope it's great.
Thelmug, you go. You want to take one?
There's a biopic that's coming out from directors Diana Dilworth and Julia Greenberg. It's going to premiere not at Sundance, but at South by Southwest. And it's called Dori Previn, On My Way to Where. And Dori Previn is one of these lost figures, singer, songwriter, wrote the title song to Last Tango in Paris, wrote songs that Frank Sinatra sang, that Judy Garland sang. She was married to Andre Previn. So she also has big scandal in her past because he went off to London and met the 23-year-old Mia Farrow. So there was a big scandal. He left her for Mia. So that was Mia's first scandal. So there, and also, I know. And I mean, her life is so crazy. It's amazing that there hasn't been a biopic. Her father went off the deep end and held the family hostage. You know, they're just, wow. It's like endless. And she was part of that Laurel Canyon scene. So here's this figure, kind of this zealot at the middle of so many things, with so many songs that are familiar to us, And yet, Dori Previn, like, does the name ring a bell? So that's really what I'm looking forward to.
Amazing. So my first is Love Lies Bleeding, which is coming out sometime in March. It's because I'm a huge fan of, did you guys see Rose Glass film Saint Maud a couple
Yeah,
years ago?
so
I thought
good.
that was just brilliant. So I've been looking forward to what her next thing is. And apparently this is like a torrid tale of crime and sex. Kristen Stewart plays a woman who runs a gym and she falls in love with a bodybuilder, played by Katie O'Brien, and she has a terrifying dad, played by Ed Harris. That's pretty much what I know, but if I'm intrigued by her follow-up.
Yeah, that's on my radar as well. And I am not a fan of Kristen Stewart at all, at all. But I'm a fan of the director, and I'm a fan of the entire premise of this movie. So I'm just like, okay, I hope maybe
You'll
this is
give it
gonna
a chance.
be, yeah, and hopefully this is gonna be the movie that maybe turns the whole Kristen Stewart of it
Turns
around.
your love around.
I know, yeah.
Candace, take it away.
My next one is Drive Away Dolls, which is co-written by Ethan Coen, who's kind of creatively separated from or branched out from his brother Joel Coen. And he, from what I understand, this is kind of a Thelma and Louise-esque road trip gone awry, but far more comedic than Thelma and Louise was, starring Margaret Qualley and Geraldine Viswanathan, I believe is how you pronounce her last name. Forgive me if it's not, but they're both great. I'm big fans of theirs. And so Pedro Pascal makes an appearance, Coleman Domingo's in it. Like, it's such a stacked cast, and it looks so silly and but also really fun.
Kind of feels like old school Cohen, too.
Yeah. It's very like kooky humor that's often wrapped around crime. I mean, I even think about like something like No Country for Old Men, which is not immediately a comedy. It has comedic moments, but it's very, very quirky.
Or Raising Arizona.
Raising
Or Blood
Arizona.
Simple, you
Is
know.
those are like squarely comedic movies, Raising Arizona for sure. Blood
We
Simple,
love.
yes. It revolves around a crime as well.
Thelma?
So moving on, my next movie is Shirley, the Shirley Chisholm biopic with Regina King. I'm again looking at, I just love this idea that we're resurrecting women. I think more people possibly know about Shirley Chisholm than Dori Previn, but I may be wrong on that. I think it's a moment where we need heroes, sheroes, and I want to see Regina King fly as this incredible politician in her, first in her class.
Yes, I'm
Yeah.
also looking forward to that.
Me too. Yeah, I love Regina King, so I just am riding on her back for this. Hope it's great.
So my next one I just found out is apparently pushed, and that I was really looking forward to Bong Joon-ho's follow-up to Parasite called Mickey 17, which is apparently a sci-fi astronaut story with Robert Pattinson. So I'm have to shelve that one, but I just mention it instead. Copolis, Megalopolis.
Megalopolis.
This
That's
is
cute.
the, as usual with Francis Ford Coppola, it's a myth already been built around this film where apparently he spent all his own money on it and it's this huge dream of him to make him. It's an epic sci-fi story starring Adam Driver about rebuilding New York City into a utopia after some sort of disaster has happened. Also a stacked cast, Forest Whitaker, Lawrence Fishburne, Giancarlo Esposito, Aubrey Plaza, and anything Coppola, I just am very curious to see.
That sounds fascinating.
And also, I have to say, Adam Driver, I was getting tired of him. But I loved Ferrari, and I think he was terrific in Ferrari. And now I'm curious where he's gonna go because I'm a believer again.
Well, he does tend to work with these big mega directors between his other projects, so he definitely is staking out a very interesting career for himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
So I'm looking forward to that. Candice?
So I'm a horror nut, so I am always kind of scouring for whatever the next horror movie is, often to my disappointment. But I am hopeful about the next Blumhouse movie, which is slated for March, called Imaginary, starring DaWanda Wise, who I love, and I think more recent audiences might know her from the Netflix iteration of She's Gotta Have It. She starred in that. But yeah, she is going to star as a stepmother to a child who has an imaginary friend. And I'm using heavy air quotes when I say that. And this imaginary friend is apparently demonic or evil of some sorts. And that's literally all I know. And I'm interested in this idea of building this evil lens around the idea of an imaginary friend, which is already a kind of unstable notion. And it's Blumhouse and it's DaWanda, and I hope it's great. So that's why it's on my list.
I love the
I hope
premise
it
and
scares you.
yeah, those, I mean, simple premise like that can either be, we've seen it before, or it can just be genius if they do it right. So that's always fun. Thelma?
Okay, pulling from the Sundance pile, a movie called A Real Pain. Jesse Eisenberg, it's his sophomore directorial effort. He wrote it and he co-stars with Kieran Culkin. So first of all, Eisenberg, Kieran Culkin, you have me. But then there's the story. It's semi-autobiographical, but it definitely is fiction. It's about these two cousins who go on what you could call a heritage journey. Jewish cousins who go back to Poland to see their grandmother and to see what happened to their family. So it's a road trip. It's an odd couple buddy movie, and it delves into one of the darkest chapters of Jewish history and how contemporary Americans, how, the intergenerational trauma fascinates me.
Interesting. I hadn't heard of that one. I didn't much like his directorial debut, which I saw at Sundance, if it was last year or the year before, but it's always good to.
I like everybody getting a second chance.
Yeah.
And a third and a fourth and a fifth. Keep on working.
I'm interested to see what he does next directorial wise, but yeah, I also was not a fan of that first effort at all.
I'm going on the biopic route again with some women here, and that's Back to Black, April 25th, I think, is the release date on that one. And it's, of course, about Amy Winehouse, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson, who made a movie about John Lennon called, no, I never saw that one, Nowhere Boy. Did you guys see that?
I never
No.
heard of it.
So I didn't know that one. But I mean, of course, this is about Amy Winehouse. These are big shoes to fill. Industry's Marissa Abella is playing her. See, it can either be very basic biopic and it doesn't work, or but it's a great cast. Leslie Manville plays her grandmother, and Mark Ronson is one of the producers. So it has potential. It could also be super formulaic and doesn't do her justice at all.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried about it. I'm interested in Amy Winehouse as a subject. I didn't care for, I'm one of very few who didn't care for
The
the documentary.
documentary. I thought it was really speculative too. I didn't quite like it.
It seemed very
I thought it was
sensationalized.
spectacular.
Again, very few, or very, very few, a
You know
tiny.
what? We've all been sitting in that very few spot, you know? So it's okay. That's what makes it interesting.
Totally. But yeah, this I couldn't get through Industry, not because it's bad, I think because I didn't have the temperament for it at the time, but I do recognize the quality. I don't and I don't recall her on the show, but I have some reservations about, her performance from what I've seen just only in pictures, which is really not a good indication. Or stills from the movie. I hope it's great.
I'm curious about it, and it can go either way. I mean, especially, you know how a biopic can be when it's just it doesn't go delve into anything new or anything, any depth, so who knows?
Sorry to cut you off. Yeah, I was like, my issue a lot with biopics and celebrity documentaries is that they're not really challenging the subject. It's more of like a PR, like a
Good
tribute,
point.
a salute. And
Exactly.
I need more than that because we all know that they're a good singer or a good actor or whatever the case was. We need more of their complexities because every human is complex and we need to see more of that in, portrayed on screen.
Agreed.
Absolutely. You know what? Lisa Cortez's Little Richard documentary
Oh, love that.
is
That's a fantastic one.
seems to be that one that really digs in and finds the places where he is complex, where he contradicts himself. And I think that sets the bar for me. And one of my biggest disappointments was seeing that that documentary did not seem to, that it didn't get into the documentary shortlist for 2023.
Yeah, same. I was extremely disappointed. I remain very disappointed about that because it's one of the best documentaries I saw last year, that and the Brooke Shields documentary.
You know, when we while we're doing this round robin, I just thought that rather than doing Back to Black as my 10th, I'll just chime in here and say, you know, looking at the trailer, I really liked the White House documentary. And I am curious how they portray her evolution into this, you know, this character, who she was before she became the Amy Winehouse that she became. And so that's on, it also is one of the ones I'm looking forward to.
I am gonna go back to horror and say A Quiet Place Day One, which I believe is slated for June this year. And it's a prequel because we don't have enough prequels. And so we're getting another prequel to A Quiet Place, which already has two movies in the can already. This is going back to, as the subtitle indicates, Day One, where I assume, because there's not a lot of plot details, that I assume they're going to really kind of reflect or give us some insight on how this family got to, like, how the situation got so dire and how this family kind of came to be what we know them to be. So basically, if you're unfamiliar with the A Quiet Place franchise, it's a small family. They're kind of like one of the very few families that have survived a really mysterious apocalyptic monster invasion. And they've dwindled in the past two films, and they've met some really nefarious characters, human characters. But I think this prequel, which actually is going to star Lupita Nyong'o, and yeah, I guess we're just going to go back to the beginning and how it all started.
And this is not John Krasinski, at least not directing. This is on my list too, because another director, this is Michael Sarnowski, who did Pig. Remember that one with Nicolas Cage, which I really liked. Very much looking forward to what they do, even though I'm also kind of sick of prequels. Thelma?
So we talked Back to Black. I'm interested in another Sundance movie, Freaky Tales, from Ryan Fleck and Anna Boden, who I have always enjoyed their movies, and their indie, you know, an indie pair that have continued to make great kind of freaky films. And I went to college at Berkeley in Northern California, graduated in 81, and this is about Northern California misfits in the late 80s, so it'll feel like
It's
home.
you.
Freaky Tales, I could tell you. And it stars Pedro Pascal and Ben Mendelsohn. So, and it should be funny and freaky and dark. And I hope they pull it off.
I have this. It's funny. So I didn't put any Sundance titles on my list because I assume that none of them have dates yet, but I do realize some of them do have like distribution because a lot of them don't. Freaky Tales, I didn't realize had distribution, but I am actually planning to see that when I head to the mountain later this week. But that is on my list too. I'm very excited about that one.
Oh, can't wait to hear what you think of it. That sounds great, Belma.
And we'll be Candace, I'm going to be following you and your Sundance, and just take your airborne now. Start it today.
Yeah.
Might have to see
Yeah,
it.
no flu, so we don't want to see that.
No. I'm usually pretty and I'm knocking on wood. I'm pretty good, but yeah, we'll see. It's always cold and snowy.
So I'm going to continue with the title coming out in April, which is supposed to come out last year, and that's Challengers, the new Luca Guadagnino tennis movie starring, it's like a love triangle between Zendaya and two male players, Mike Faist and Josh O'Connor. And this was supposed to premiere at some of the festivals, I think, but because all the strikes, it's been pushed to this year.
Yeah, I'm somewhat curious about that. I really like the director's work, and I think that's mostly why I would watch.
Yes.
The premise isn't, I don't know, maybe it's just not a really, frankly, well-written log line, but maybe that's just what it is. But yeah, the premise isn't really grabbing me immediately.
You
But
mean tennis and love triangles isn't like everything you wanted to see?
it is literally nothing I want to see. And so I'm like, none of that combination. I'm just like, okay. But yeah, I'm curious because of him.
And also, Mike Feist was like the breakout of West Side Story.
Yeah,
So
we
I'm
want him to
curious to see.
continue breaking out.
Yeah, we'll see.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo. And for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book. And together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our ninth season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.
I have Beetlejuice again. Horror.
I'm so looking forward to Beetlejuice, so my youth.
Yes, for sure. I mean, like Beetlejuice. I love the original movie, and I'm something about this is making me think that this is not going to be great. But I think I need to watch it so I can determine that for sure. But yeah, it's more of Beetlejuice. I'll just say that name one more time.
Yeah, not again.
Oh
It's Jenna Ortega and some of the old cast. Is Winona Ryder in it? I don't remember.
yeah, Winona Ryder's coming back. I assume a small thing. Winona Ryder and Catherine O'Hara are both coming back for, I assume, small roles. I don't know if Michael Keaton will be there or what capacity he'll be in if he
And it is
returns.
Burton, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it has potential. I'll go.
It does. I mean, it's really just like, to Thelma's point, it's just like, do we really need this? Absolutely not. And that's where I'm kind of like staying. Like, we don't need, like, Beetlejuice is already fantastic on its own. It really doesn't need to expand.
Sometimes we want some candy.
Sure. Love candy.
Thelma?
I do have a horror movie on my list, so I'm going to move it up. Nosferatu.
I
Me
have that too.
sure. Are vampires horror? Yes, of course they
Yes.
are. Do I love What We Do in the Shadows? Is it one of my favorite shows? Yes. It's Eggers again, and he can go for me, he can go either way. Loved The Witch, hated Northman. Loved it, The Witch, hated Northman. So I am like, okay, let's see what you got with Willem Dafoe and Aaron Taylor Johnson. And I just somehow feel like he's going to knock this out of the park.
Bill Skarsgård as Count
Oh,
Orlok, and Lily Rose Depp, who hopefully gets a better project than The Idol to show her chops. No, I'm literally super looking forward to this too. I mean, potentially the perfect project for Eggers.
I hope it's great. I'm not actually a fan of the directors at all,
No.
but I am a big fan of the Nosferatu legend. And so I'll probably watch anything good and bad, obviously, that comes out of that that mythology. So yeah, that's on my list as well.
And I'm going to do a prequel. And that's Furiosa, Mad Max Saga. Anya Taylor-Joy is filling Charlize Theron's boots. It's George Miller is back directing. And I think it looks amazing, what we've seen, the images that have come out for now. Anya Taylor-Joy is such an interesting actor. So I'm super looking forward to this.
Same. Yeah, that's on my radar as well. I mean, I have the same kind of quibbles that I have with A Quiet Place, because I'm just like, do we need more? No, we absolutely don't. But will I watch it? Yes,
Yes.
absolutely.
It seems like that type of year, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Thelma, I think I sort of jumped the line here. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm really looking for a movie that has already played some festivals and got pushed into 2024, and that's The Bike Riders. It's directed by Jeff Nichols, who did Mud, and the cast is just things. It's Jodie Comer, Tom Hardy, Austin Butler in a biker film that travels to the deep canyons of the Easy Rider era. It just looks to me kick-ass. These are like three actors that I want to see, and I'm a big fan of Easy Rider and that era. And it hasn't, and biker films have not been overdone in the past decade, 2 decades. So I'm really looking forward to that one.
Yeah, you had me at Easy Rider. I don't really know much about this movie, but I do know Easy Rider. And
Yeah.
okay,
I'm revved. Yeah.
Yes.
I won't say too much, but I will say I saw it at Telluride. It's gorgeous,
Ah.
but no. It's I'll
Okay.
leave it up to you guys to then fill in the context, but I think there's a reason why it's been pushed a bit here and there, even though it was one of the big Telluride titles.
Oh dear.
So I'll leave it at that.
That's the problem about talking in the next about the things that you have not seen. Always a
Yeah.
danger.
So we'll see what you think.
Okay.
Candace? Oh, I have to again return to what I think is going to be a prequel. I don't really know. It's definitely a part of a major franchise, The Lion King. So, and this is literally the only reason. There's
But didn't
always
we
a spoiler.
just see that?
So yes, basically the whole Beyonce of it all. But there's Mufasa, the Lion King, which I believe is just kind of follow his very specific origin story. It is directed by Barry Jenkins, and that's the only reason I want to watch it because he
Of
is
course.
extremely smart. He's very good at selecting movies that he loves, that he champions, that he produces and gets behind, but also his own stories that he wishes to tell. So that's literally the only reason. I don't think that there's any plot details. That is purely an assumption that I think it's going to be an origin story based around Mufasa and the Lion King. And yeah, so we'll see. I think that heads to theaters in late December.
Well, you had me at Barry Jenkins, but not so much as another love thing, but I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah.
Thelma, is it me or you? Do you want to go ahead or?
It's you.
Okay. I'm a little cheat here because I'm putting a couple together, which I'm calling, I have to admit, I'm curious. Beverly Hills Cop, Axel Foley, or Axel F, of course, Eddie Murphy. What's that going to be like? Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in it, Kevin Bacon, and Bad Boys 4, Will Smith, Martin Lawrence are reuniting and coming back. What's that
Yikes.
gonna be? It's the same directing team as the last one, which is a huge success. And Ridley Scott's Gladiator 2. Paul Mescal, incredible cast. Again, Pedro Pascal. Is this like the 10th time we've named him just
I know.
today? And Denzel Washington. And who can go wrong with Denzel Washington? And all of these three, I'm thinking, could go either way, but I'm extremely curious and if they can bring back audiences, some of them seem so old. I mean, are they looking to get the kids or us, the nostalgia group, or who's supposed to go see these three? But I'm curious.
All I can say is I loved Beverly Hills Cop.
Me too.
And I think that Eddie Murphy, you know, he has matured in terms of how he deals with his audience and other people, which is a good thing. But he always entertains me. He always makes me laugh. And so I'm really curious about that one. The other two, after the Will Smith thing, they could have called it Very Bad Boys.
Yeah.
and then, you know, Ridley Scott, I feel like it's great that Sir Ridley now in his 80s keeps on making these big films. But the last couple have fallen flat for me. But still, big Gladiator fan, big Paul Mescal fan. So let's see.
Yeah, I mean, Bad Boys, I just love, especially the first film so much. And I just want to see it just so I can, again, finish it out. I feel like Beverly Hills Cop, I can't say I'm excited about that. I love Eddie Murphy quite a bit, but I don't quite understand his last several projects. I mean, everything, I think, not to go on a whole tangent, but I think Dolomite was such a good movie and I was hoping he would kind of stay on
that. Continue that lane
now. Yeah. Amazing movie.
Yeah.
And I would say, thinking about that, underappreciated. I think maybe he's a star, you know, he's an actor who has gone out on a limb and sometimes he's been smacked for it or just hasn't been patted on the head to the degree that he would like. And so this seems like something that's more, if it's good, he will be patted on the head.
I hope so. It didn't really happen with Dolomite, but I hope so.
Not enough, man.
So Candy Cane Lane wasn't your big Christmas movie, Candice? Gathered around with friends and family.
But my mom loved it.
Yeah. Well, I thought that too. We had a good time watching it, but I mean, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Thelma, take it away.
Another one on my list that we haven't talked about, Between the Temples. The director, Nathan Silver, you know, not a hugely strong director, but it's a Jewish story pairing Carol Kane and Jason Schwartzman.
Yes.
And Carol Kane cannot be bad. She's just someone who's always good. I enjoy Jason Schwartzman, a comedy about a cantor who is giving bat mitzvah lessons to his grade school teacher who's getting a late bat mitzvah. It's not really the best description of the plot, but with these characters in motion, I'm curious. And anything that brings Carol Kane up, you know, she came out, I don't know, I think everybody has seen Hester Street, which is one of her early films.
I have not.
It's about the Jewish immigrant experience. And it's a, you know, if you think of Sundance and early independence, it's Joan Micklin Silver, pretty much a pioneer of women filmmakers. And it's now going to be made into a play with music that's going to debut this spring in DC. And I want there to be, I want Carol Kane to get her prop. I'm singing her.
She's great. I've heard of this movie. It's going to be at Sundance. It was not on my radar to watch, but I am familiar with it. I really like her a lot. I am less hot on him, on his work as an actor, but I really like her quite a bit.
We have like 10 minutes left barely, so maybe we'll do two more each. And I think one of them several of us may have, and that's this movie. I really didn't like the first one, but I really want to see the second one, and that is Joker, Folie à Deux. But of course, Todd Phillips is back with Joaquin Phoenix, but this is with apparently a musical with Lady Gaga playing Harley Quinn. Also, lots of pictures we've seen coming out of the production. I'm super curious at what direction they're going. That, in my opinion, it was so reductive, the first one, just a bunch of Scorsese movies put together. And is this something different? So I'm another movie that I'm just really curious about how it's going to go and what it's going to be like for audiences. Is it going to be a big thing, or, you know, what's the pull that Lady Gaga has here? And
yeah, the whole musical part of it all is very strange to me. I can't picture that at all. I also thought that the first movie was just like, okay, we don't need this. Like, I think honestly, Joker didn't really need his own film, because I think what we saw in The Dark Knight was so incredible. Oh, yeah. Joker, like such a good Joker story that we didn't need it. I mean, I also think that Joaquin Phoenix is a tremendous actor, so there's that. So I don't know, but I was just like, and I'm like lukewarm on Lady Gaga as an actor. So yeah, hopefully this will all turn me around.
I'll say that this is number one on my hate watch list. I have to see it. But I really, the first Joker gave me hives. I saw it in Toronto. I was way up in the balcony, in the front row of a very high balcony, and I was afraid there were going to be people leaping off the balcony, because it was like, oh my God. So even whatever I feel about Joaquin Phoenix in his various iterations, sometimes brilliant, sometimes repulsive, I would say that, number one on my hate watch list. I'm definitely going to see it. But I know we're supposed to go in without expectations and like have an open mind. I will like, and I'll, you know, try to do it that way.
Professional. Candace?
I was really trying to figure this out because you guys took pretty much all the other movies that I had on my list. But two that kind of jumped to mind is Ghostbusters, which is another sequel. I think this is the fourth one. And the subtitle was like Frozen something. I guess it's like we're in some kind of frozen apocalypse. And
Ghostbusters True Detective.
Right, yeah. Right. They need the Ghostbusters to come in and intervene and save the world. And that's literally.
And this world needs saving, Candace.
It truly does. Especially
you're on a nostalgia trip.
I know. And not always for good.
Thelma?
Well, my last two that I have on my list are things that we've talked about. Furiosa, the Mad Max saga. George Miller can direct a movie, and it's propulsive. And I think Anya Taylor-Joy. I loved the previous Furiosa movie, and I think that she's going to just go all out, throw herself into. You know, you see the trailer and. You know, it's going to be, if you like action movies, since the very first Mad Max with Mel Gibson, I've been on this ride. And I haven't been disappointed. I think George Miller came back with huge energy and vigor and force. And so I'm looking forward to that. And my other movie that we've discussed is Love Lies Bleeding with Kristen Stewart, who I have a lot of faith in. I think she has really terrific taste. She never phones it in. And Ed Harris always good, but he has like the worst bald long hair thing going on in the trailer. And I'm like, okay. Let's get bad to the bone, Ed Harris. So I'm looking forward to that.
I'll do my last ones here, which I'm surprised, Candace, you didn't take, or you maybe don't like Maxine, which is the follow-up to Ty West and Mia Goth's horror trilogy. Supposedly, yeah. This will round up the slasher trilogy that they're doing. I'm interested in that one. I'm also really curious about the new Jordan Peele project, which I've tried to figure out what that is, but they've just sort of announced that it's coming in 2024. I'm a big fan of his work. And I'm also surprised that none of us have mentioned Dune Part 2. Maybe that's not on our radars in terms of sequels, but it's not so much on mine. So, but just rounding things off with those, I'm really curious about.
Yeah, I was not a fan of the first Dune, but I also don't think that that's really my wheelhouse, that whole. I think I keep jumping around a bit because I'm still struggling with it. Because I think it's really for fans of the book and the original movie. And because I don't have that entry point, I'm really just getting kind of a crash landing into this world. I didn't really think that the movie really, in a satisfying way, really dropped us into this world where we have a grip on what's even going on. And it's all those really slow. So a lot of things I had a lot of issues with it, and it's slow and long. You can be slow, you can't be long. You can be long, you can't be slow.
But that's definitely one of the most anticipated movies in terms of like people that the internet is writing about. I mean, that's the one interesting to
The three
see.
of us are not interested in it. So
No.
just, yeah, let's just say, yeah, they're writing about it. And maybe that's what's great about the three of us getting together. Is talking about all of these other movies that are going to come. And I've got to say that this exercise of looking ahead and looking at the movies ahead, I found some things that I was not expecting and I'm looking forward to. So I'm appreciative.
I also Maxine was on my list. You just said it before me.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, that's on my list. I was not a huge fan of Pearl. I was a big fan of
X.
X. And so I hope Maxine just really pulls it all together. I mean, I really, really like Mia Goth. I love Ty West's work as well. So yeah, I'm totally gonna do that.
And did you have anything left, Candace? Do you want to take us out?
I was just gonna like kind of very mildly suggest Ballerina, which is I think a spin-off of a John Wick
Yes.
world, but through a female lens. And I really despise this whole trend of like, oh, it's like John Wick, but for women.
No,
With
not for
all
me.
my might, I hate that. I hate that. I hate the type of marketing. I hate all of that. But I hope it's good. I'm trying to remember the actor's name who's in it. But
The one from Blonde,
Ana
right?
de Almas.
Oh, not down. Yeah.
Armas, yeah.
So I genuinely like her. Obviously, Blonde was a mistake. But I generally like her.
Including Bond, when she had that action scene in Bond, which may have given them the idea to cast her here. And I think Candace is 100% right when you talk about a female, a John Wick to in interest a female audience. John Wick as Keanu Reeves, is someone not like making the simple connection?
Do something more original, such a pat on the head. There's so many fantastic female stories out there. We don't have to go to those.
Agreed. Absolutely do not. It drives me, it makes me ill so
Oh.
much.
Guys, well, maybe we should meet up again in a year and see what we thought of these. That could be a fun exercise. It was
That
like 30 films we hated.
would be fun. In
But
2024.
yeah, most likely we'll have found a bunch of other ones in 2024, but it'd be interesting to see where. Thank you so much for joining me. Why don't we just end off telling where everyone can read your work and find you, Candace?
Yeah, so I'm on HuffPost. You can find me there. You can follow me on Twitter or X. My handle is Real Talker. So yeah, those are probably the best place.
And you can find me at aarp.org, where I'm a film critic and am reviewing weekly. I also am writing about TV and film for The Wrap and working with a fantastic foreign language TV streamer called MHZ Choice.
Wonderful. Thank you guys so much. And have a great time at Sundance, Candace, too.
Thank
And you're
you.
going to Berlin, so I look forward to
Yeah, and I'm
following your
going to
film.
Berlin. So it's a, and I love Berlin is also a place of discovery. So there'll be more films to add to this list after I go to Berlin.
Yeah,
Thank you
same.
guys so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Hey there. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Audrey.
We are a sister filmmaking duo
and co-hosts of Sleepover Cinema,
our show where we analyze the films that created the collective unconscious of the girls, gays, and theys of the late 90s and early 2000s.
Princess Diaries, The Cheetah Girls, Aquamarine, Cinderella, the one starring Brandy.
We haven't stopped thinking about these movies since we first saw them, and we want you to rewatch them
and review them with us.
Are these movies as bad as critics would have us believe?
Do we even care if they are?
We are always unpacking that very question on Sleepover Cinema.
Check out Sleepover Cinema wherever you get your podcasts or at evergreenpodcasts.com.
See you soon.